Chapter 27. Hank and Jolie started furnishing their apartment with the first of the wedding gifts they received. She called him a chicken-livered asshole for the first time, about 2 days after the first of the money came in. The occasion was his suggestion that they ought to budget their money more carefully so that they wouldn't ever have to be broke. She began mildly by saying that she intended to live things up as often as possible, and budgeting was definitely not something she intended on doing with the money she earned. Hank tried to reason with her. He told her that if they put something away each week, they could live things up regularly. "You don't know how to live things up because you've never had it tough. You've been babied all your life and still are." She had never talked to them that way. He was immediately crushed and took to silence. He got up and started looking for his cigarettes. "And why do you walk on your toes all the time? It makes you look like a weirdo as soon as you take your shoes off." "I don't know," said Hank. He bit down tightly on his lip and stared at the floor. She smiled at him, walked over with the sweet, elastic smile that he loved on her face. "I just don't want you to keep on being a chicken-livered asshole," she said sweetly. "You shouldn't call me that," said Hank dramatically. She rested her head on his shoulder, sighed, said she was going to take a bath. She closed the bathroom door and stared into the mirror until she was able to produce 3 tears that rolled down her cheeks. While the water swarmed in the tub, she thought about the jawline of the piano player at the Dover Inn. Ron settled into his chair and thought about what had just happened. They'd had an argument, but realized that they loved each other. He especially liked the way she rested her head on his shoulder. It had reassured him that she was always going to be his, no matter what happened. He wanted to take care of her, and he would be able to if only... He grimaced. He'd been in the midst of a crucial insight, and now the fucking phone had wrung it right out of him. "Hey, man," said Ron, "what's happening?" "What happened to me is that I just got out of going into the fucking army. I go right before the women and children, and the way I figure it, that's the only time it would be really necessary. What do you think of that?" "That's really good," said Hank. Ron waited for him to say something after that, but nothing. "Want to get together and get blasted?" "I don't think so," said Hank. "Well, I guess I'll catch up with you at some point later on," said Ron, who was now sorry that he'd called and wanted to get off the phone quickly. After hanging up, he told himself that he and Hank were going in very different directions. Hank was so caught up in the Jolie that he couldn't let himself think about anything else. Ron told himself that he'd just have to stop thinking about Hank in the present tense, and that he really didn't feel too bad about the development. It would be like resisting change, and look what happened when you tried resisting change. You became a fossil. He told himself that he wasn't a fucking dinosaur, and that if Hank wanted to walk around with "it's me and my woman against the world" outdated approach, then that was his problem. Sooner or later, he would see he was irrelevant. Ron drove out to Quimpy's house that evening. Quimpy had no phone, so only the only way to catch him was to find him in. His feelings about family were the subject of the thoughts he sorted out on the way. Their reactions were mixed. George was silent. Marjorie said, "Thank God." Aunt Dottie said she wouldn't have wanted to go either if she'd been a man his age. Ron thought about the reactions were a pretty good indication about how they felt about him. George wanted them to take me. My mother was just afraid I was going to die. He thought about his Aunt Dottie's reaction and smiled. She thinks like I do, he thought. Hers was the only reaction that made him feel better. Ron piloted into Quimby Street and was glad when he saw lights on in the garage. He parked across the street in front of the factory, crossed over warily. It was one of the darker streets he visited regularly, and he was always a bit nervous about it. He threw glances over his shoulder while he waited for Quimby to come to the door. A small white window shade went up, and Ron could see the top of Quimpy's head. Quimby raised up on his toes, was sidling back and forth below the window, trying to determine the identity of the visitor. After about 15 seconds of this, Ron began to get resentful. Jesus Christ, he said under his breath. I get saved from the jaws of death, and nobody gives a shit. Quimby opened the door, and Ron said, hope I didn't get you at a bad time. Nah, that's all right. Quimby stroked his beard, looked up and down the street before he closed the door and back of Ron. It was a renovated garage filled with embracing clutter. A kitchenette that contained all the necessities, plus a 30-gallon fish tank that was stretched across the top of the table, a collection of 100 dusty wine bottles stacked on top of the cabinets, walls filled with elementary school art, and bowling sheets that displayed great games. The rest of the place was similarly packed with stacks of magazines, old newspapers, rugs laid over rugs, all threadbare. An American flag held draped across the entrance to the bathroom. When did you get the aquarium? I don't remember when it was, said Quimby, who continued to stroke his beard and weave from side to side. Quimby's habit of weaving had actually become accented since Ron stepped inside the garage, so that he was now actually picking his feet up off the floor at the end of each lean. Man, do you look stoned. Not anymore, but I smoked bone this afternoon. That had me flying. This black chick, Lori, and I went apartment hunting. Did you get anything? Quimby smiled. No, but we sure provided some people with anxious moments. She didn't feel insulted, huh? Nah, she didn't give a fuck. I beat the draft today, Quimby. His Ginsburgish face broke into delighted laughter. Oh, yeah? He headed for his closet, reached into his sports coat jacket, came out with some pot and a pipe. That calls for celebration. Did you have to tell him that you were a crazy fag drug addict? No, but I would have. My knees got me out. They sat down in front of the fish tank, and Quimby stuffed his pipe. Man, said Ron, when was the last time you moved anything around in this place? Nothing needs to be moved, said Quimby, passing the pipe to Ron. He sucked in deeply, began to cough with a radical baritone quiver. You're too greedy. Take small hits. Quimby demonstrated, handed the pipe back to Ron. After a tiny toke, Ron was amazed at how much smoke came out of him. He still liked joints better. After they had successfully knocked out the pipe, and Ron hadn't coughed anymore, Quimby refilled. See, fuck up, all you need to do is pay attention. You always say that, said Ron. That's because it's true. It's true at Wellmont. It's true at school. It's true with broads. But sometimes I get to paying attention so closely that I forget what's going on. Wimpy thought that Ron was filled with contradictions. He got to learn to pay attention to things in the right ways. Ron's face was filled with anticipation. How do you know what the right ways are? Pay attention, said Quimpy. He laughed, lit a second pipe. Ron laughed too.